I've been here a few times to see Pastor Drew and Tamara, but to come be with you in a Sunday morning, just a treat again. Man, I was doing the math a few minutes ago. It has been almost 20 years. Our hair was a little darker back then, and you know. But God has been good and faithful, and I just want to thank you for the privilege. And every time I come in this place, there's always something new going on. It's like Pastor Drew is showing, check this room out. We're fixing this. We're doing this. We got discipleship going here. Every time I show up, there's something new, exciting, and dynamic that God is doing through you leaders and all of you here to transform Pico Rivera and beyond. And I just love being a part of that. So you are one of my supporting churches, and I appreciate that deeply. As Pastor said, I do four things, and I'm privileged to do these now. One is I coach pastors. I'm on the phone monthly or on Zoom call, you know, Skype call, with 18 pastors around the country. And when they're having a moment and when they're trying to figure out what's next and how to break through this, it's my privilege to help them listen to the Spirit and to think deeply and go deep and figure out, Lord, what's next? And to push them, because pastors get afraid too. And to say, you got this. God's got you. Push, go, dream, leap, whatever. So I have fun doing that. I also work with our church health team in transformation ministry. So I work with churches doing strategic planning and getting churches unstuck. And as you said, my friend, this place was stuck, you know, 20 years ago. My church that I was at was really stuck. And so we just like to unstick churches and get them reaching the community and letting the Spirit flow. So I get to do that. I get to teach. I was in Ukraine and Russia a few months ago, and I'm going to Guatemala tonight and just working with pastors all over the world. And I'll tell you this, what's amazing. We in the U.S. have so many resources. You get on your phone, you can download this, listen to that famous pastor, get a book, get a podcast. There's so much we can get a hold of, right? But places I go, pastors haven't seen a new resource in years. And so I get to bring what God's deposited in me and pour into them. And I go to funny, odd places and eat weird food and sleep in weird, hard beds. And in Ukraine, man, the sheets don't even fit the edge of the bed. I don't get that. Like, stuff like that, you know, the showers don't drain right in the right direction. And it's like, oh, my Lord. And yet I go, God, thank you that I get to be here with these lovely folks and share Jesus and share leadership and best practices and things I've learned the right way and the wrong way, the upside, downside, and just pour into them. And then I also get to walk with churches in a missional pathway. My mission, Church Resource Ministries, we have a whole process we take churches through over about a year, four workshops that help a church get individuals to figure out their individual missional calling. Who are the lost people that God has prepared each of us to make a difference in their life? We figure that out. We activate you on that. And then we step back and look at the church and analyze its history and context and relationship to the city. And then we figure out initiatives that the church is going to do in the city amongst lost people on a weekly basis. And so I'm leading five churches right now through that process in the last 18 months up to now, having fun. So I'm in California about every weekend. I live in Houston. Just moved out there a couple years ago. And it's hot and swampy, so it's good to be back here where it's dry and feels good again. But I get off the plane here, I'm like, give me some chapstick. It's dry out here. So you can tell I'm acclimating to my swampy world. But I am so thankful for you, for Pastors Drew and Tamara, for your support, for what God is doing through you. And so it's my privilege to encourage you this morning, to bring God's word and some stories, just to help encourage you that, yes, you're in this kingdom thing, and it's the best place to be. Amen? Amen. So happy Father's Day to you fathers, you grandfathers, and to our Heavenly Father. Happy Father's Day. Amen? So let me tell you, what is happening around us? As I am seeing the Spirit work in different places, what I'm noticing is this. As I look back in Scripture and see how it's playing out around the world, think about this. When Adam and Eve sinned, Genesis chapter 3, right? We're way back there. And the fall of human beings comes. The Father goes searching for his lost children, right? He doesn't blow them off and say, forget you, I'm starting over. He goes on mission, calling them, looking for them. And my thesis is that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is about a God on mission. Always has been, and still is, and will be, and is until he calls all his children home. See, mission is the grand story of Scripture. And you here at Hope Community are in that stream. You are living examples, living vessels, as you serve, love, unchurched, lost people who need Jesus, need to be filled with the Spirit, need to know the love of the Heavenly Father. You are on mission. And I love being in places where it's just alive and electric around here. The high point of the salvation story, of course, is when Jesus the Son goes to the cross. He dies a death so that we might have life. And then, as he's resurrected and goes back to the Father in the ascension, he gives the disciples the mission and says, go do what? What's your theme here? I see it on the wall. Make disciples. When I walked in, the first thing I saw was that sign. I said, yep, this is my church. Feels like my home church in some way. This, you are about making disciples. Jesus said, Matthew 28, and I've got it here, I think, on the screen for us. Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, do what? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to what? To obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. The Holy Spirit has come and is filling us, sanctifying us, transforming us, and fallen on us so that there's more powerful ministry. Amen? Amen? And see, as we're disciples of Jesus, that command still stands. That was not something just for 12 dudes back many years ago. That is our calling today, to make disciples wherever we are. And he's chosen his people to reach those who will be his people. And I was just walking the grounds here this morning with your pastor and seeing what God has done the last 20 years and just seeing where it's going and thinking about all these people. And this, as I'm driving into Pico, it's like I'm looking at restaurants and what's going on. And this city will be transformed as you continue to make disciples. And disciples who make disciples. And it's my encouragement and challenge that you will live boldly, filled with the Spirit, in the lives of lost people. In fact, at CRM, the mission I'm in, that we push churches to live so boldly amongst lost people and to serve them repeatedly over. We call it life on life. I'm going to do this. It's like this, right? You get that life on life. So that they eventually say, why are you doing this? And then you get to say, this is the stuff that Jesus would do if he was here in the flesh. And they go, really? See, they've seen you love them so honestly, without agenda, without some hidden motive. You're just loving them in Jesus' name. But in the background, you are praying for them. You're asking God to take the blinders off the eyes. You are asking, Lord, God, save them. And then suddenly there's these questions that begin to emerge, and you're right there. And pastor and his wife, they're training you well to know how to love and answer questions and bring them around here to experience fellowship and experience new life. And it's our hope and prayer that they're going to end up in the dunk tank, you know what I'm saying? Cleaned up, washed up, filled Spirit, and sent out on mission again. That's what we do. That's the fun stuff that we get to do. And so what's so exciting is when you look at the end of the book, right? Revelation 7, 9 and 10. Actually, you know, I skipped one. Let's go back one verse. So I'll tell you what. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18. Check this one out. Jesus said to Peter, I will what? I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not what? Amen. You believe that? Amen. So, because here's what happens. You go from Genesis, we got Matthew, now we go to Revelation, right? Revelation 7, 9 and 10. After this I looked, and there was before me a great multitude that no one could count. Listen to this. From every what? Every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing the white robes or holding the palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That's the end game. That's Super Bowl Sunday, right? Finally, we're all gathered together. And it's been a mission from Genesis all the way through to get to that. That's the game we're in. That's why we do this. And here's what's really fun. You don't have to do this alone. Not in our own power, not in our own strength. You've got a bright pastor. He and his wife are sharp people. They study, they listen, they go to conferences, they read books, they're learning. I came to a conference here, how to do leadership stuff. I still use that stuff. I still pull out that stuff. But you know, at the end of the day, it's not about all the tricks and tools and tips that we have. In the end of the day, it's because the Holy Spirit is working through us. And that's what it says in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know what that looks like? That's called retranslate Pico Rivera, L.A. Basin, ends of the earth. Right? And my prayer is that you have a deep passion for Pico, for the people of this city who need the Lord desperately. You'll see a ministry, the larger, greater L.A. Basin. You're the witnesses here. And not just on this campus. You got a beautiful campus. I've seen this thing transform, right? It has been it's been an amazing journey of transformation of the campus. But what I'm most impressed is the transformation of lives who then go into the city and live as disciples and live boldly around people. One of the things I challenge people to do is to be bold and pray for people. Because I actually believe that the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son love to show off when lost people get healed. When lost people finally risk and say, "Yeah, you can pray for me." And then you check back a week later, "Hey, how's it going?" And they say, "Oh my gosh, Uncle so-and-so actually feels better." And you go, "Yeah, that's God. And now we're having a conversation," right? Can we be the kind of people that love people so boldly, and then when that need comes up, when that hurt emerges, and we just say, would you mind if I just pray for you? One of the fun things I'm trying to do in restaurants is just to say to the waiter or the waitress or whatever, just, "I'm about to bless this food. Is there anything I can ask God to do in your life?" And, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's like they get the weird look on their face and they go, I got a test next week, or my car's busted, or my aunt's sick or something. And then you go, "Well, okay, what's their name? And I pray for my food and I pray for that." And you come back a week later and you got to check back. How'd it go? And that's risky, right? Because, right? Like, what if, right? Because there's a whole spiritual war going on, and we don't know all what's going on up there. It's a now and a not yet, right? But the kingdom breaks through. Kingdom breaks through. And it's fun to watch their eyes light up, and they start to connect the dots that, wait, you prayed and called down something, and I love living like that. I hope you'll live like that, boldly making disciples in this city. Pico Rivera, I love it. Let me tell you something that's going on around the world. Right now, Latin America, South America, China, and Africa, the gospel is exploding. It is going so fast and replicating so quickly that right now China will be the largest Christian nation within 15 years. There will be more disciples of Jesus in China than anywhere in the world. We're going to get books from Chinese pastors and church leaders showing us how to do it. Get ready. What's fascinating is it's happening underground, right? And what's crazy. They don't have all the seminaries and the Bible schools and all the stuff that you and I have loved on and we've been privileged to have. But they didn't have this. They don't even have rock bands and keyboards and basses and guitars. They just have the scripture, meet an underground hut somewhere, and they replicate. And it goes. And it goes. And I'm kind of asking the questions, what are the dynamics what can we learn and glean from places that don't have all the tools that I'm used to leaning on, and yet the gospel goes? So I'm still learning about all that, but I'm fascinated to know how it's moving so quickly. At the same time, there are places in our history where the gospel seems to be abruptly almost stopped, and you wonder, is this still worth working on? Adoniram Judson, just give you a story. You know, this is a few hundred years ago. He goes to India. Not India. I'm going to India this summer. He goes to Burma, similar place. And there are no Christians. No New Testament, nothing. And after he's there for like 15 years, he's been sick, he's been beaten, his wife has died. There are very few disciples made in 15 years, like maybe 12. Man, if I had gotten that report in my email, I'd be like, I don't know. Let's pull this guy out. Get a 747, pull him back, it's not working. That'd be how I think. But here's what's crazy. He did stay in the game. He translated the scriptures into their language. And at the 150th anniversary of the translation, they now say there's 650,000 believers in that country that all trace their spiritual lineage back to that man coming years ago. That in the short term, very little fruit, but suddenly in the big picture, God uses that to transform a nation. Isn't that amazing? And the reason I tell that story is I want you to know there will be some places where you're going to pour into friends and neighbors, and you're just going to see stuff happen. Gospel shows up, they get it, they make disciples. And there are other people that you're going to sow into, and you may not see the fruit this side of heaven, but God's still using that stuff. He's still using, right? We don't often see in the big picture how it all frames out. But continue to sow. Continue to sow. Because God's up to something good. Sad to say, there's a funny story that breaks my heart every time I tell it, but it's true, I gotta tell you. So nearby, not that far away in the greater LA area, was a church I went to visit. Big, old, you know, old structure, the whole thing. And the young pastor and I are there, and we're just kind of getting started in our ministry. And he was showing me this room that was, they call it the parlor. And it was just right off the kind of a room like this, kind of a fellowship hall kind of thing. There was this parlor. And I was like, oh, that's really neat. I walked in. It looked kind of like a spaghetti factory. You know what I'm talking about? That 1920s kind of velvet and velour look. That makes sense? Right? Can you see how that works? And, you know, 1920s, kind of early 30s kind of a look. And they've decorated this whole hall. Now, what happened was the committee then raised money to fix up this room. They spent $90,000 to renovate this room. That the pastor got busted for opening the doors and letting people in when they had a funeral and they needed overflow space. So now people from the city come into the church like, oh, what a beautiful room. They go into the room and they sat on the velour carpets and couches. And this pastor gets blasted for letting people touch the parlor. And I went away from that, sat in my car, and there were like tears in my eyes. I'm like, Jesus, don't ever let me hold on to buildings and put money as if we're a museum. We are in kingdom business. And that pastor said, I just want to throw the doors open, let them spill the coffee right on top of the couch, if that's what it takes to get lost people to come in here and hear about Jesus. Right? We are not going to be churches that live in the past, that memorialize what was and what, and spend money to look at altars of how great we once were. And yet that church is dying on the vine. Now this church, you're investing for the future. You're bringing it. I can see it in his vision. And I know that at the end of the day, you got this beautiful carpet. If somebody came in, spilled their coffee, Pastor Drew would be here at night scrubbing it himself and said, I don't care as long as somebody comes to Jesus, right? That's the perspective. So go forward. Reach the unchurched. See, here's what's frightening to me, though. We in the U.S. are the fifth largest unreached nation in the world. You realize that? Right? We've been the sending nation of missionaries and pastors and leaders around the world, but on the backside, we've got more unchurched and de-churched people as a population. It's one of the largest mission fields in the world. So yes, I go over to Ukraine and Russia and Guatemala and all kinds of fun places, but I'm working really hard in my backyard. Because we've got churches that have got their head in the ground and they don't know what's going on. Living on fumes. Need to be re-energized by the Spirit, catch a vision, and go love the city. And that's what I get to do. See, the kingdom's an amazing thing. When Jesus starts his ministry in Mark chapter 1, it says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. It's now in Jesus. It is a whole different life. And he says, repent and believe the good news. And then the first part of Mark starts off and all kinds of crazy things happen. Jesus starts touching lives and healing people and the kingdom shows up. It's like, this is what kingdom looks like. It's my conviction. The kingdom is here in us, with us. The church is not the kingdom, but we point to the kingdom. And we live in this new realm where we have the Spirit's power and we've got delegated authority to go make disciples and pray for people and kick out demons and raise the dead and all kinds of stuff. I'm talking to two of my colleagues this week. They know a pastor that actually raised two people from the dead. I was like, now bring it. Well, that'll wake up some people, right? I don't think that stuff's done. I'm not sure I'm bold enough yet to pray, Lord, when am I going to raise somebody from the dead? But I don't know, but I am tired of boring church, right? Now, this is not boring church. This is exciting church. This is a live church. And I'm tired of dead churches that are boring, so I get to work with pastors that are dreaming again what could be and get them serving the city and get them living in this new reality. Because, see, when you join the church, you're joining a worldwide movement of the people of God doing kingdom stuff. Around the world. And right here in Pico. Pico Rivera needs you to live it right out there. One of the churches I've worked with up in the Dallas area, it's a neat story. You know, their buildings aren't great. They don't have a lot of money. They're part of the church. It lives right on the section of the city that has been designated on the county map as Section 805. I don't know what that means. It's not a beer. It's actually just, you know, it's the 805. And so they found out through our process that they had a number of their people that lived in that section of the city. When the community or the church leaders interviewed the community leaders as part of our process to figure out what are the needs of our city, really, so that we can meet them, they found out that this section of the city was really running down. There were code problems and just issues that the people within that area were not able to deal with. And so when the whole process culminated, they got the clarity that our initiative is to love Section 805. And they called it the 805 Cares. And so every weekend, a large group of folks from this church set up a tent in the middle of the street in the 805 on Saturday morning. And they fed people and passed out food and hot dogs and stuff and played broom hockey and soccer in the streets with kids, and teams of people went door to door and knocked on doors and said, you know, we notice that your gate here on the front is busted, and that's a code violation, but we're not here from the city to bust you. We're here to love you. Can we fix it? Yeah. And you know what's amazing is they're like, you want to what? What's in it for you? Nothing. Did they bring their little bulletins and be like, and come to church on Sunday? No, they didn't. Did they have their cards that were like, hey, here's our, no, they didn't do business cards. They didn't do bullets. They didn't have t-shirts that said, come to church, here's the map on the back. They didn't do any of that stuff. And that would have been my first thought is, oh, we could market, right? We'll have a banner, right? But no. They just loved week, and they're still doing this week after week. And they're having those conversations. Why are you doing this? This is the stuff that Jesus would do. Really? See, in America, we're cynical about the church. We're like, I'm not sure what's the agenda, right? And so you just got to love through that and not expect, you don't have to pull out the four spiritual laws and try, when am I going to say it? No. You just love them, pray for them, serve them, and they will ask. And then you're having a real conversation because they're interested, especially if you've prayed for them and something happened. So that church is doing an amazing thing, the 805 Cares. But what's interesting is people are coming to the church, getting saved, becoming baptized, and becoming disciples of Jesus. People that would never darken the door of that church if they had not literally been in the city, loving them in their territory. And that's our missional pathway. We've got to get people out there again doing Jesus stuff. Who people actually believe the Bible is real. That this worldview is real. And live in it. So it's exciting to be a part of a team that does that. Let me leave you with a final story. And this kind of touches my heart. Some of you know the story. It's a classic. Are we doing okay? We're good? All right. Pastor's looking at his wife. Okay, where are we at? In Fullerton, where I have lived for the last 20 years, is a little airport. Fullerton Regional Airport. It's just a little, little strip. You know what I'm talking about? Right? Little airport there. So it turns out at that airport back in the 50s is where Mission Aviation Fellowship used to train and prepare their pilots. And they'd, land and take off and do their stuff. And there was a team that left from that airport, went down to Ecuador. And some of you might know the story. For those of you who don't, it's a good story to know. A team led by Nate Saint went down to reach, they felt called to reach a tribe in the jungles of Ecuador called the Wodani tribe. And this story is documented in the movie and the book, The End of the Spear. But as one who used to drive by this airport all the time, it just sort of rolled around in my soul. Like, this is where it happened. This is where they started. They went down and they made connection to the Wodani tribe. They flew this little airplane in circles. They would then let buckets of stuff go down and they would leave them some gifts and things and some food, and they began to make connection with these people. They finally landed the plane on a little sandbar in the middle of a river, and like, we're making connection. Here we are. And then five guys were killed by spears from the tribe. It's over. And it was a big deal. It was in Life magazine. It was in Time. I mean, this is a national story of good, godly people going into a tribe and getting killed for the sake of the gospel. The story doesn't end there. The son, now Steve, goes down years later to continue to connect with those people. See, what happened was Nate Saint's sister did not reject them, but actually went on and ministered to that tribe for the next 20 years. Can you believe? I mean, you killed my brother, but I'm still going to love you. Where does that stuff happen, right? That's kingdom stuff. Only kingdom does stuff like that. She goes down and loves these women who then reach their men, and eventually the whole village, the whole community is kingdom Jesus-based. They're no longer headhunting and tribal fighting and all this nonsense in the jungles. No more bloodshed, no more violence. Now they're followers of Jesus. So now when his sister dies, Steve goes down, and as he's in a, now he's a man, and he's down there, and he's sort of reliving the history of all this. Painful stuff. An older man named Minkayani says, let me show you something, and takes Steve in a boat up the river. They find the plane, it's still there. And there's the broken airplane. And then he says, I have to confess, I killed your father. Now somewhere he pulls out, I'm not clear how this part works, but he somehow has a spear with him, probably a ceremonial one. He hands it to him. And he says, avenge your father. And the rage and the pain and all that came back up out of him, and he actually pinned him to the ground with the spear in his neck. Can you picture it? And then with tears came to his eyes, he said, my father gave his life to love you. And so they literally hugged, and now Minkayani is a grandfather to Steve's kids, and they walk in the kingdom together. There's a picture of them. Here they are. That's Steve. That's Minkayani. I just leave you with that thought, because every time I come across this story and retell it and think it through, it blows my mind, because that is kingdom stuff. That's kingdom forgiveness stuff. That's way beyond this world stuff, right? And that happens in jungles, and it happens in cities, and it happens in Pico Rivera. Kingdom stuff. So church, continue getting after it. God's got something good he's up to in you, through you. He's filling you. He's pouring down on you. Continue to listen to him and be obedient. And let's reach the city for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Can we pray? Father in heaven, we ask blessing upon this church. A faithful community desiring to see lost people found, a city transformed, disciples making disciples. Lord, let it be through this church for the years and generations to come. So may they be found faithful. May they be completely leaking over in the Spirit, pouring out, pressed down, running over. And may there be great fruit now and in the future as you use them for your kingdom's sake. Thanks for their friendship. Thanks for their faithfulness. Bless them mightily, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is Angel here? Angel, can you come on up? Is Angel here? Peter, you want to play the piano? You don't know how to play? All right. Well, I just want to, as we close, I want to kind of let what Kirk ministered just kind of settle down in our spirits. And as I, as he was teaching at the very end, I just thought, wow, you know, how many have been here and you've listened to probably at least over 20 sermons? Raise your hand if you listen at least over 20. Okay. Over 100. If you think you've heard over 100 sermons. Okay. How many liked all of them? You guys are so awesome. But here. Here's what I want us to recognize. What's going on there? What is God doing? You know what God is doing? God is transforming you. You know what would like it to? I mean, don't you love the sin in your life? That, you know what, you came forward, you got saved, you know what, you accepted Jesus, and boom, the next day that sin was gone. Don't you like that? How many like that? How many like that stuff? How many of you, when you got saved, there was some stuff that still stuck around? I need to minister to somebody. I don't know who it is, and I think it's probably several of you. But I, as soon as I said that, I heard God say, you know what? Remind them that I am blessed, that the man is blessed in the one who keeps on getting back up on the horse. And I will tell you personally, as I struggled with lust for years, way longer than I cared to admit, that the one who gets free is the one who keeps on getting up on the horse. So don't allow Satan to condemn you. That's a little rabbit trail, but I don't know who needed that, but that's for you. Receive it. But what's happening is you're getting trained. God is changing you from the inside out through his word. You are transformed by the renewal of your mind. And thank God for the stuff that just falls in seconds. But in my life, there was a lot of stuff that didn't fall in seconds, that it took me renewing my mind and renewing my mind and renewing my mind. But what is going on? Let me tell you what, you were looking more like Jesus. How many recognize you look more like Jesus than when you first came in this church? And what is that about? That's about what Kirk was talking about. That isn't just so you can, you know what, listen to praise music now instead of listening to, you know what, Def Leppard, you know what I mean? Seem like, who's Def Leppard? Just don't even look it up on the internet. Do me a favor. Just don't even look it up on the internet. Here's my point. That God is doing something, and it's about you, but it's more than just you. He is perfecting you from the inside out, that you would look like Jesus. And then as you talk to people, as you bump into people, they trip out because you don't act like most people that they know. That's what God is doing. Angel, come on up here quickly. And that's what God is doing. So somebody say, I've got an opportunity. See, we can't allow those 20 sermons, those 50 sermons, those 100 sermons. Some of you maybe hundreds of sermons. We can't allow them to be ineffective. We have to recognize what God is doing in us. You are being changed, not just for you, but for these others who are around you. God wants to use you. I've been telling you, so strong in my spirit, God is raising up leaders in this church. If you feel like there's, and I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable if you don't stand up. I think sometimes you give invitations and people just feel like they have to stand. I'm not, if you don't feel this, don't stand. And don't feel obligated to stand. But if you say, Pastor, that message was to me, I need to be way more conscious about me connecting with people around me. And I don't feel fear. How many of you, when Kirk said this, when he talked about praying in restaurants for someone, how many did your heart how many felt like inside you were like, yes, I want to do that? How many felt that when he said that? All over. Kirk, look, all over. Now, keep your hands raised. How many felt a little intimidated when he said, you know what, you need to go back? That was a good one. Here's what I'm telling you. Guys, we got this. We are assigned. This is our assignment. If you say, Pastor, I feel that mission inside me to not just get knowledge to get knowledge, but I want to get knowledge to give. I want to be changed. This changing is taking place. Let me tell you what. There's great change taking place in our church. But we've got to get that to be effective. And that was the message from God today. And if that's you, I want you to boldly stand. I'm going to pray over you before we're dismissed. If that's you, I want you to stand and say, Pastor, I'm a missionary. I'm a missionary. Somebody say, I'm a missionary. I'm a missionary to my family. I'm a missionary to my spouse. I'm a missionary to my kids. I'm a missionary to my grandkids. I'm a missionary to Pico Rivera. I'm a missionary to my high school. I'm a missionary to my junior high. I'm a missionary to my work. I'm a missionary to my boss. I am the one. God, send me. You're not there by accident. You're there on purpose. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for lives that are being changed through the power of the word. And Father, we are blessed to be a blessing. So Father, I thank you that people are hearing from God today. Father, help us to be way more on purpose, way more conscious of lost people around us. Help us, Father. We thank you that you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but a love, a joy, a sound mind. Father, we thank you for the lives that will be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.